Now, I need to clarify something that's very important for you to know. That coconut bra was not bought for me. There's a story behind it, so just know that. It ended up on my body in a weak moment with my grandkids, so understand that. All right, enough of that. More stories next week, I'm sure. All right. Psalms 124. I'd like you to turn there, please, in your Bibles this morning. Psalms 124. I'd like to share with you some thoughts that I trust will be helpful to you. Psalms 124 in your Bibles this morning. Thank you for coming to church. We appreciate all of you being here and our visitors. And as already been said, Isaiah, it's good to see you back here at home. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you being here and just everyone that is here today. Psalms 124, I'm going to read the first two verses and then I'll read the last three verses as well. David writes these words. He said, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us." Now, when you read that, there seems to be a blank to fill in my opinion. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, and then you can fill in a blank. What would have happened? What would have the results had been if the Lord had not been on our side? I think that's what David is asking Israel to consider. He's saying, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel now say, he repeats it, if the Lord had not been on our side, what would have happened? And that's true of Israel in days of old, but it's also true of spiritual Israel, which is those who follow Christ today. Here's the question, if the Lord had not been on your side, how would your life be different today than it is? If the Lord had not been on your side. That's really what David is prompting people to think about, and what I'd like you to think about today as well. If the Lord had not been on your side when problems came and trouble came and adversity came and situations came that you couldn't handle, how would your life be different today if the Lord had not been on your side? And so that's what he is saying. And then in verse 6 through 8, he finishes by saying this, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth." He's talking about verse 3, 4, and 5. He's talking about those who have caused Israel trouble. Verse 3, 4, and 5. And then he describes them. When men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. The swollen waters would have gone over our soul. What he was saying here in verse 6 is, blessed be the Lord who has not given us over to that, but he is on our side. Had the Lord not been on our side, we would have been swallowed up. We would have been defeated. We would have been crushed. However, God has not given us as prey, verse 6, to their teeth. Verse 7, our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Why? Because the Lord was on our side. We're not ensnared. We're not trapped. They set the trap. People will do that. Problems will do that. They'll set a trap to try to trip us up and cause us to lose faith in God. But David is saying to Israel and to us as well, this hasn't happened because the Lord was on our side. Because the Lord is on our side, the snare has been broken. How many are glad the enemy's snare has been broken? Amen? He has been defeated. And then in verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord. We sang about that today. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Very succinctly, he ends it by just saying, our help is in the name of the Lord. And so with that question in mind, how many of us could say the same thing this morning? If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, and then fill in the blanks. Every one of us have a story to tell. Every one of us could fill in And you could tell about a time that you were ill. You could tell about a time that you were facing financial difficulties. You could talk about a time when you were without a job. You could talk about a time when you were having interrelational, personal relationship challenges. You could talk about a lot of things by filling in the blank. If the Lord had not been on our side, what would happen? And I don't only think that you and I have a story, but I think we could ask that too of our nation. If the Lord had not been on our side, how would we be different as a nation today? Come on, right? As a community, if the Lord had not been on our side in battleground, how would we be different today as believers and as families? What would your family look like today? It would be different had the Lord not been on your side. But on the other side of that question is, because the Lord has been on your side, we are where we are today, right? We are victorious, and we have victories to talk about. If the Lord had not been on our side when problems came, how things would be different today. Everybody has problems. And if you're here today and you say, I haven't had any problems yet, you just wait. Your day's coming. I'm not a prophet. I don't profess to be a prophet, but I can prophesy this. If you don't have any problems, you're going to get some, because God supplies your need. Because we need problems, don't we? We need them to show that God can solve them, the old songwriter, the songwriter said. If I never had a problem, how would I know that God could solve them? I'd never know what faith in God could do. And so when problems came, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when problems came, I would be so much different than I am now. And those are a myriad of problems. Everybody's had them, and we've experienced things, and maybe it didn't turn out the way you thought it should, but you're here today, you have survived, you've succeeded, and you are here. And you are here because God was on your side. And how many know if you have to choose someone to be on your side, first one I would want is the Lord, right? I would want the Lord on my side. I'd want the Lord on the side of my family and of my church and my community, my nation, etc. So if the Lord had not been on our side when things went wrong, how many here have ever had something go wrong? About half of you. Let's try that again. How many here have ever had something go wrong? That's much better. I think we've all had something go wrong. I love that saying. That who is that actor that says, "I love it when a plan comes together." Is that Papard or what show is that? The A-Team. There you go. First service, my wife knew the answer, but she wasn't going to give it away today in this service. Yeah, I love it when a plan comes together. How many love it when things work out just like you planned, right? You like it. It's really nice. But how many know most of the time it doesn't work out quite that way? Things go wrong. And had the Lord not been on our side when things went wrong, how different things would be today for us. Because we all have a plan. We all have the way that we would like things to go. We lay out the best plan possible, but then something happens. There's always something that goes wrong. It's like working on an engine. And I'm not a mechanic. I know enough about engines to get me in trouble. That's what I know. But I helped someone one time put together an engine, and there were parts left over when we were done. And that always worried me. So things will go wrong, but if the Lord had not been on our side, how different things would be today. When we feel surrounded, and sometimes you do feel surrounded. Sometimes problems just come, and you're under a lot of pressure, and you're not sure what's going to happen. You're not sure where this is going to end up. And it's almost like the enemy surrounds you and wants to convince you that you need to give up. You just need to throw up your hands and say, God's forsaken me. I'm just not going to do this anymore. But I want you to know, especially to the younger families that are here today, because we that are older have been down the road away. ways, and we understand that God always comes through in ways sometimes we didn't plan on, but He always comes through. But I want to tell you, when you're young families, when you feel surrounded and you feel that pressure and you feel like you just pull your hair out, what you need to do is look up and call on that name Jesus and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Things are going wrong. I feel surrounded, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to hang in there because somehow God is on my side. Amen? I'm not going to succumb to the lies of the enemy. And maybe you felt that as an individual or as a father or as a mother or whatever the case may be. So if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when we felt surrounded, how different things would be today. But help did come because the Lord was on our side. You know, the older you get, the longer the look to the back, to the rear. Reminds me of Star Trek when Captain Kirk says, rear screen. And that was pretty amazing in those days. It's not so much anymore. Most of your cars probably have a screen that'll show you, you know, you're backing up. Meow! And hit something. So you got a screen that'll do that. Or woof woof. Okay, I'll be fair. Cats and anyway, you got a screen. But in those days, that was something. That was amazing. You could see where you've been. Well, guess what? We can see where we've been. How many can see where we've been? Amen? And the older you get, the longer the look back. But I can tell you today, as one that is older, looking back, I can tell you God never failed. He was always there. He was on our side. He helped us. He strengthened us because He is a faithful God. Hallelujah. And the look forward, the older you get, no, it's not a shorter look forward. It is even a longer look forward because we have eternity to look forward to spend our eternal life with Jesus Christ as we follow Him. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. But when you look back, you think how many times the Lord was with us, how many times the Lord was with us. Now, I appreciate the fact the kids have put together the celebration next Sunday evening for us. 40 years pastoring, 45 years marriage, and you know, 65 me. Those are milestones. Some of you have already made some of those milestones. Others of you look forward to them. But I can tell you this. When I look back on those 40 years as pastor of the church here, I can tell you I can see God's hand and how He was on our side. Now, I didn't necessarily see that when I was going through some things. But looking back now, and I don't encourage people to look back too often, because if you're not careful, you look back and your plow will get off, you know, your furrows will get off. But every now and then, it's good just to look back and say, Lord, thank You for what You brought us through. Amen? Thank You for what You brought us through. When our kids were growing up through this 40 years of pastoring here, Eddie, I think, was 3 or almost 4 when we came, and then Sharina was born, and We've always taught them to trust the Lord, especially when there was a need. And our organization requires this. It's our policy as a church, and I'm glad for it. But our policy as an organization and as a church is that before the pastor ever receives any compensation from the church debts and responsibilities and bills have got to be paid. They have to be paid first. And that's set up, in my opinion, it's a good system, because that way I can't go off and have a great time while the church is suffering and going through hard times. No, everything has to be paid, then we can receive something if there's something there. And if there's not, then we may not get paid that week. That's the way we've lived all of our lives in ministry, and that's the way we continue to live. And you say, well, maybe that's not fair or something. Well, listen, it's the way we've chosen to live. It's by faith. And through the years, I've told our kids, when something came up, when Eddie needed something or Sharina needed something, maybe it was a special pair of shoes he needed for sports or whatever. Maybe it was, I remember with Sharina, it was a car when she was getting ready to go to college. I would tell them, I'd say, kids, let's pray about that. Let's pray the Lord to supply the need. Because I wanted them in on the action. I wanted them to know that it was God. And I reminded them and I told them, I said, we're going to pray God to supply the need, but always understand, kids, God uses our congregation to supply that need. So we're going to pray the Lord to provide, but we're going to pray for the offerings, because that's how we're paid. We take the offerings. And people give. People like you, you give and you tithe. And so because I wanted my kids to appreciate the fact that our congregation loved us and cared about us. And so whenever it would come up, we'd pray about it. And God didn't always answer, right? when I thought it, he should have answered. But inevitably, God would come through. And when he did, I made sure that Andy and Sharina both understood we needed to give thanks to God. Amen? We need to give thanks to God. I said, thank God he came through. And so I remember one time we were praying about something. I forget if it was Eddie or Sharina. And after the Sunday morning church service, we went home. And one of them looked at me and said, Dad, well, did the Lord do it today? And I said, well, no, not today. And I said, but there's always next Sunday. Amen. There's always next offering. And then, so we would pray and we would wait. But God came through. Didn't he, Sharina? Amen. A little Ford Escort. Yes, he did. Eddie, he came through. Amen. Are you awake? Yes, you are. All right. He came through. And so God is faithful. Because we look back and we say, if the Lord had not been on our side, had the Lord not been on our side, things would have been so different. It's what Paul seems to echo in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, when he said these words, if God be for us, you finish it? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is on our side. Yes, he is. Now, David asked another question in Psalms 116. In Psalms 116. And I think in light of what he said in Psalms 124, had the Lord not been on our side, we would have been defeated, etc. In Psalms 116, he asked the question. Psalms 116, starting at verse 12. He says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? For the fact that God was on our side, what can I render unto the Lord? What can I give back to the Lord because he's been on my side? Now, understand something this morning. We cannot earn God's help or God's blessing. How many know that? We can't work enough. We can't pray enough. We can't fast enough. We can't do enough stuff to earn God's help. His help comes out of his heart of mercy and his heart of grace. Now, we need to work for the Lord in whatever way we can, but his help is not dependent on that. If you can't do anything for the Lord at all, he still wants to help you. You know that? He still wants to help you. And so we need to understand that. What God asks us to do is to pray and to believe him and to believe that he's on our side. But here David says, what shall I render? If I could do something for the Lord, for all of his blessings, for all of his help, for all of his benefits toward me, what would it be? What could I do? Now, if we were asked that question, we might say, well, we could give more money. That would make God happy. We would give more money. Well, guess what? God doesn't need more money. If we're faithful to give what God has called us to give, if we're a tither and we give what we can, God's not looking for more money in order to help us and to bless us. So that's not the answer. Well, I'll just go on a mission, or I will go on a pilgrimage, or I will do something to make me suffer or hurt or have a problem, and maybe that'll bring God's gratitude for what he's... No, God doesn't need you to do that. Amen? If you want to go on a mission, that's fine. If you want to go on a pilgrimage, that's fine. But those are not requirements. Those are not things that God expects us to do back to him. Referring back to my kids again, as they were growing up, once that need was met, once we shared with the kids, God provided. And I still remember a Sunday when one of them asked, did God provide today? And I was smiling and said, boy, did he provide today. Amen. He provided. And they were grateful. I've tried to teach my kids to be grateful, to be thankful, and to say thank you to mom and dad. But I never, ever, ever wanted them to feel like just because I did something for them or God did something for them that what they were somehow obligated to work harder or to pray harder or anything like that. Because that's not the way it ought to be. Amen? I wanted them to see grace. I wanted them to see gifts are given without attachments to them. And yet still David said, there's got to be something I can do for the Lord for all of his benefits toward me. And so he lists four things that he can do. Notice in verse 13, he says, what can I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Verse 13, this is the first one. I will take up the cup of salvation. Second one, I will call upon the name of the Lord. The third one, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And number four, the fourth one is found in verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Those four things, a couple of them were repeated, so we're not counting those. He said, these things I can do for the Lord. Let's look at them real quickly. He says, what can I render to the Lord for being on my side, for helping me, for all of his benefits toward me? Number one, I will take up the cup of salvation. Now that's an interesting thing. When we talk about cups in the Bible, you have a couple different things. There are literal cups. There was the king's cup was hid in the grain when Joseph's brothers went back to his father. It was planted there. That was a cup. It was a literal cup. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember the words of Jesus just before the crucifixion, the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, let this what? This cup passed from me. It wasn't a literal cup necessarily. It meant what he was about to go through. And we call that the cup of suffering. And Jesus said, if it's possible, I don't want to drink the cup of suffering. And that would be any of us here today. I don't think any of us would say, you know, today is a good day for me to suffer, Lord. Bring it on. That's ridiculous. We don't need that. But he said, if this cup, it's possible, don't let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, what did he say? Not my will, but yours be done. That was a cup. Now, we know that it didn't pass. We know that Jesus had to suffer, and he did. He was beaten. He was taken to the cross. He was crucified on the cross. And then, what's interesting is when you go to the book of 1 Corinthians, and you read the communion passage that Paul records, he says these words. Paul said, The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the cup of the Lord Jesus? He's talking about the crucifixion. He's talking about his sacrifice on the cross. But now he doesn't call it a cup of suffering. He calls it a cup of what? Blessing. So the cup of suffering that Jesus went through has now become the cup of blessing. The cup of suffering turn to the cup of blessing. And what I have discovered in my life, and maybe you've discovered in yours, though I don't ask for suffering to come, when it does come, I have to believe that somehow he will change the cup of suffering when I'm through it to a cup of blessing. There will be something there that will be a blessing for me, because God works all things to my good. Amen. So when David said, I will take up the cup of salvation, maybe that's what he was talking about. Because salvation, in the literal sense of the word, means delivered from something. And so, from something that is suffering, he brings us into something wonderful. A life that is without Jesus is what we call a sinner's life. All of us have been there. All of us have been there. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need delivered. We need salvation. And once we give our hearts to Jesus, now it is a cup of blessing. The cup of suffering can become the cup of blessing. I understand that in the Old Testament families, sometimes the father would gather all the family into the house, and he would take a particular cup, and he would fill it with whatever they had, and he would fill it up, and he would say to his family, tonight we're going to drink the cup of blessing. This cup of wine, this cup of grape juice, represents all the good that God has given to us. It doesn't represent the hard things, it represents the good. Tonight we're going to celebrate the good things that God has done for us. And he would hold the cup up, and he would say to the young and to the old alike that were gathered into his house, this is the cup of blessing. And he would take a drink of it and say, thank you, Lord Adonai, for all of your blessings, or something to that effect. And he would hand it off to someone next to him, and they would take a drink. And then the next person, and it would go all through the house so that everybody from the youngest to the oldest would take a sip from the cup of blessing so that they could recognize that God had been a good God and that he was on our side. How many know we have a cup of blessing that we can drink from? It is called the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. The love of Jesus Christ that we can take and receive from. And so David said, what can I give to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I am going to take the cup of salvation. I'm going to thank God for what he's done for me. Number two, he said, I will also call upon the name of the Lord. And what he says here is, I am going to call on the Lord when I need him. And I'm going to call on him when things are good. I'm going to call on him when things are bad. See, one of the best ways, in my opinion, we can really bless the Lord is to call on his name when we have a need. Because our Heavenly Father desires to give good gifts to his children. How many know Jesus said that, right? It's his desire. And he loves it when his children call on the name of the Lord. He loves that. He loves that. I love it when my kids would ask me for things. I loved it. Got a little aggravated sometimes when they didn't let up, but they would, you know, that it honored me as a father, and I was pleased when I could give them, you know, good things. And if I couldn't give it to them, I tried to give them an explanation. I remember one time that I had promised the kids. I said after church, we're going to go get. I think that's when the first Baskin and Robbins came in around here. And I said, we're going to go get ice cream at Baskin and Robbins. And boy, they were excited. They were excited. And I was excited because when my kids are excited, I'm excited. And when my wife's excited, I'm excited. Amen? And my wife just got a new refrigerator. It's not her birthday present, but it was close. It was going to be, but when I told the salesman that, she said, shame on you. But I was excited because she is excited. It didn't have to work. You know, our old refrigerator had worked for years and years and years and years. And so it's one of those fancy ones, got it on sale, it's got a nice thing, it's kind of cool the way it opens. And she went to bed early last night, so I went in the kitchen and went, oh, this is so cool. This is so... Oh, she might hear that. You didn't hear that, sweetheart. But it's neat to see him excited about it. But I told him we were going to go for ice cream. This is just a little thing, but then we got a phone call. Someone was in the hospital. And I told him, I said, kids, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to do what you want. We're not going to be able to go to ice cream because the people need us. And that's what we do. We're pastors. They were disappointed, but I think they understood. But I said this. I said, I can't give you what I promised you today because of this emergency that's come up. But I promise you this. The first available time that I can, we will get that. And they were disappointed, but they were okay. But later, we went and got that ice cream. And I'd like to think that ice cream tasted better the second time. I'd like to think that. And you know, sometimes with the Lord even, the Lord will say to us, not right now. You may be asking for something and the Lord may be saying, you know, not right now. But when the time comes, see... The Bible says in Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Amen? It's sweet. So call upon the name of the Lord. Make the call. Number three, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. David said, one thing I can do for the Lord because he's been on my side is I can have a public testimony of what the Lord has done for me. I think that's what he was referring to with when he was saying, I'll pay my vows in the presence of all his people. So, see, some vows you take, and you need to be careful when you do a vow. The Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not keep it. So you need to be very careful what you promise and what you make a vow over. But David says, I'll pay the vows that I've made in the presence of all these people. I'm going to make a public testimony that God has been good to me. And you see, all of us have a private life, and we have a public life. And to me, if you're a Christian, they ought to mesh. They ought to be one. But there are private times. And I think there are things we vow to the Lord that we keep private. We do. And then there are things that we promise to the Lord that we can make public. All right? And that's what David is saying. He's saying, what I promised to the Lord, I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it for all with all the people. I'm going to have a public testimony. And what I think it's saying to me is that when someone asks me, you know, how are you doing? Or are you a believer? I can proudly say, yes, I am. And I can proudly say, God has been good. When someone says, how you doing? I'm going to say, I'm doing good. All right. One time someone asked me how I was doing, and I told them the truth. No, let me go back. I said, well, no, I don't want to go there. Say, how you doing? I'm doing fine. By faith, I'm doing fine. And then as we talk more, I like to tell people of how good God has been. Of how good God has been. And how he's provided. And how he's met the need. And how he's been faithful. Amen? People hear that, and I believe it gives them encouragement to live for the Lord. And to want to come to the Lord. And to want to trust the Lord. And so never be afraid. Never be ashamed to tell people about the good things the Lord has done for us. Don't just keep it to yourself, but let people know how good God has been. And if you're struggling with that, you can always find something to say good about the Lord, right? Always say something good about the Lord, all right? Even if it is that you woke up this morning and you didn't find your name written in the obituary column, that's a good thing. Amen? Number four, and then we're done. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. This, I believe, David said, I can do for the Lord. I can give you worship and I can give you praise. Not just in church, but every day, I can give you praise. And I want to tell you this. If you have made a connection, if I make a connection toward my level of worship and praise based on how I feel, you have given the enemy a big bullseye to shoot at. Because chances are good, if I do that, the devil will make sure I feel not like worshiping. He will make sure I feel miserable. He will make sure I don't feel like worshiping and praising. And he'll hit the target every time. But if you will not allow a connection between the praise and worship you give the Lord and the way you feel, if you won't let feelings interfere, you shrink the bullseye so small the devil can't hit that thing. And that's why we need to always give thanks and praise to God. Amen? No matter how we feel, no matter what we're going through, struggling or not, all right? Have a bad day or what? You know, those things happen, but we always need to be ready to give praise to God. And as you do that, you eliminate the bullseye for the devil to try to tag you and to make you stop praising the Lord. And David said, what can I do for the Lord because he's been on my side? I'm going to worship and I'm going to praise him. Praise God. Whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to do it. And sometimes I'll do that. I don't know, people see me, they probably think I'm crazy, but if I'm not necessarily feeling like worshiping or praising the Lord, sometimes I'll just make myself lift my hands before the Lord. Maybe if I'm driving, I'll do it because that's really puts a thrill in the car beside you. The other day I was beside somebody, and this light right here, it's the longest light in Battleground. If you're going this way, it is. And so I was there getting ready to go left, and a car was beside me, and I didn't even kind of make the connection. My window was down, and their window was down, and I wasn't feeling like worshiping the Lord, but I got to the stoplight on the change of the signal. I thought, okay, I know, 2 full minutes. And how many know at a stoplight, 2 minutes is five? Five, right? And so I just sit there, and I went, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. because in my heart I didn't feel like it. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for everything. And then it dawned on me, my window's down, and I looked over and this person's going. I went, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I didn't feel like doing it, but I had to do it. I had to do it. It's the least that I can do for the Lord being on my side. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the goodness of the Lord. Thank you for being on our side. Thank you for being on our side. Had it not been for the Lord on our side, let Israel now say, we would have been defeated. We would have been conquered. We would be far different than we are today. But the reverse of it is what I want people to leave with. Because the Lord has been on our side, we are better for it. We are victorious. We're winners because the Lord has been on our side. Because the Lord has been on our side, I can take the cup, whether it's of suffering or blessing. I can take up the cup of salvation. Because the Lord is on our side, I can call on the name of the Lord, and I know that He'll answer. Because the Lord is on our side, I can pay my vows. I can fulfill what I've promised to the Lord. I can declare to people that God is good and God is faithful. I know that for sure. Because the Lord has been on our side, I can do all of these things. And I thank you, Lord, for being on our side. I thank you for being on people's side even right now. Because not everybody in the building right now is going through a good time. There's some that are going through some struggles. There's some going through some uncertainty. There's some here that maybe do feel surrounded. And I encourage them to look up. To look up from the eye of the hurricane, as it were, and see the clear sky, to see Jesus is on their side. Lord, just help people to be able to trust you. Help me to be able to trust you. Father, even at this juncture of my life, when I have a long look back, I can say thank you for being on my side. But when I look forward, I can say, Lord, I'm confident you'll continue to be on my side. And I thank you for that. Help me be quick to praise you, Lord, and often, every day, to give you thanks and to praise you for all that you've done for me, Lord. Now, Father, as we dismiss this service, we thank you for this good Sunday morning. It's been good to be in God's house with the folks at 9 o'clock and these folks at 10:30, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless their Lord's Day activities, whatever those might be. Lord, as they gather with family or friends, or maybe some might just be by themselves today, but Lord, let them know they're not alone, but that you're with them today. But help them to enjoy and get the rest that they need on this, the Lord's Day of Rest. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for being on our side. Amen.